every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is into hellfire. Alhamdulillah, continuing on with men around the messenger, the Sahaba we would like to talk about this evening is Zayd ibn Harith. In the battle of Mutah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood to pay his farewell to the departing Muslim army on his way to fight the Romans, and to announce the name of the three successive commanders of the army. Zayd ibn Haritha is your first commander, but in case he is wounded, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib will take over the command. And if the latter is wounded, then Abdullah ibn Rawaha will replace him. But who was Zayd ibn Haritha? Who was the beloved one of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Narrators and historians describe his appearance as short, dark, and sub-nose. As for his reality, he was truly a great Muslim. If we go back in time, we will see Harifa, Zayd's father, just putting the luggage on the camel that was to carry his wife, Suda, to her family. Harifa paid his farewell to his wife, who carried Zayd, at the time a young child, in her arms. But every time he was about to leave his wife and child, who were going with a caravan to return to his house and work, he was driven by mysterious and inexplicable urge to keep his wife and son in sight. Yet it was time for them to set out on their way, and Haritha had to pay his last farewell to his wife and head back home. His tears flowed as he said goodbye and stood as if pinned to the ground until he lost sight of them. At that moment, he felt heartbroken. Suda stayed with her family for a while. One day, suddenly, her neighborhood was attacked by one of its opposing tribes. Taken by surprise, Banu Ma'an were defeated, and Zayd ibn Haritha was captured along with the other war prisoners. His mother returned home alone. When Haritha heard the sad news, he was thunderstruck. He traveled everywhere and asked everyone about his beloved Zayd. He recited these lines of poetry on the spur of the moment to lament the loss of his son. My heart was broken when I lost Zayd. I don't know if he is alive or dead, or if I will ever see him again. By Allah, I still do not know if he was killed on the plain or slain on the mountain. His picture comes to the mind's eye whenever the sun rises or sets. Even when the wind blows, it brings along his memories. Alas, I am shrouded by my sadness, grief, and fear for him. At that time, slavery was recognized an established social fact that turned into a necessity. This was the case in Athens, which had long enjoyed a flourishing civilization, in Rome, and in the entire ancient world, including the Arab Peninsula. When the opposing tribe attacked Beni Ma'an, it headed to the market of Ukaz, held at that time, to sell its prisoners of war. The child Zayd was sold to Hakim ibn Huzam, who gave him to his aunt Khadija as a gift. At that time, Khadija was married to Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but the revelation had not yet descended on him. However, he enjoyed all the promising great qualities of prophets sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Khadija, on her part, gave her servant Zayd as a gift to her husband, Allah's prophet. He was very pleased with Zayd and freed him at once. His great and compassionate heart overflowed with care and love towards the boy. Later on, during one of the Hajj seasons, a group of Haritha's tribe ran into Zayd in Mecca and told him about his parents' anguish and grief ever since they had lost him. Zayd asked them to convey his love and longing to his parents. He told them, "Tell my father that I live here with the most generous and loving father." No sooner did his father know his son's whereabouts than he hastened on his way to him, accompanied by his brother. As soon as they reached Mecca, he asked about the trustworthy Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he met him, he said, "O son of Ibn Abdul Muttalib, O son of the master of his tribe, your land is one of security and sanctuary, and you are famous for helping the distressed and sheltering the captives. We have come here to ask you to give us back our son. So please confer a favor on us and set a reasonable ransom for him." The Prophet knew the great love and attachment Zayd carried in his heart for him, yet at the same time, he respected Haritha's parental right. Therefore, he told Haritha, "Ask Zayd to come here and make him choose between you and me. If he chooses you, he is free to go with you. But if he chooses me, then, by Allah, I will not leave him for anything in the world. Harifa's face brightened, for he did not expect such brotherhood. Therefore, he said, you are far more generous than us. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam summoned Zayd. When he came, he asked him, do you recognize these people? Zayd said, yes. This is my father, and this is my uncle. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him what he had told Harifa. Zayd replied, I will not choose anyone but you, for you are a father and an uncle to me. The Prophet's eyes were full of thankful and compassionate tears. He held Zayd's hand and walked to the Kaaba where the Quraysh were holding a meeting and cried out, I bear witness that Zayd is my son, and in case I die first, he will inherit from me, and in case he dies first, I will inherit from him. Harifa was overjoyed, for not only had his son been freed, but he also had become the son of a man who was known by the Quraysh as the honest and trustworthy. Moreover, he was a descendant of Bani Hashim and was raised to a high station among his people. Zayd's father and uncle returned back home, leaving their son safe and sound after he had become master of himself and after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had set to rest their fears concerning his fate. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted Zayd, and from that moment on, he was known as Zayd ibn Muhammad. Suddenly, on a bright morning, whose brightness has never been seen before or since, the revelation descended on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read, in the name of your Lord, who created mankind from something which clings, read, and your Lord is the most noble, who taught by the pen, taught mankind what he did not know. Then the revelation continued, O you covered, arise and warn, and magnify your Lord. O messenger, proclaim the message which has been sent down to you from your Lord. And if you do not know, and if you do not, then you have not conveyed his message. Allah will protect you from mankind. Verily, Allah guides not the people who disbelieve. As soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had shouldered the responsibility of his message, Zayd submitted himself to Islam. Narrator said that he was the second man and more probably the first man to embrace al-Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved Zayd so dearly due to his singularly loyalty, greatness of spirit, honesty, and trustworthiness. All of this and more made Zayd ibn Haritha, or Zayd the Beloved One, as the companions used to call him, hold a distinguished place in the Prophet's heart, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never sent Zayd on an expedition, but as a commander, and if his life had not been so short, he would have made him his successor. Was it possible for anyone to be held in such a great esteem by the Prophet? What was Zayd really like? As we have mentioned, he was that boy who had been kidnapped and sold and freed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was short and sub-nosed. Above all, he had a compassionate heart and a free soul. Therefore, he was raised to the highest position by his Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love for him. For neither Islam nor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took notice of descent or prestige. Muslims like Bilal, Suhaib, Khabab, Ammar, Usama, and Zayd were all alike according to this great religion. Each one of them played an important and distinctive role in giving impetus to the rapidly spreading religion. These were the commanders who were sparkling stars of Islam. Islam rectified life values when the glorious Quran said, surely the most honorable among you in the sight of Allah are the most pious of you. Moreover, it encouraged all promising talents and all pure, trusting, and productive potentialities. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married his cousin Zaynab to Zayd. It seems that Zayd, may Allah be pleased with her, accepted that marriage because her shyness prevented her from turning down the Prophet's intercession. Unfortunately, the gap between them widened every day, and finally their marriage collapsed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt that he was, in a way, responsible for the marriage, which ended up in divorce. Therefore, he married his cousin and chose a new wife, Khuthum bint Uqba, for Zayd. The slanders and enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam widespread doubt concerning the legality of Muhammad's marriage to his son's ex-wife. The Quran refuted their claims by striking a distinction between sons and adopted sons. It abrogated adoption altogether, saying, Muhammad is not the father of any man among you, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last prophet. Hence, Zayd was called after his father's name once again, namely Zayd ibn Haritha. Now, do you see the Muslim troops that marched towards the battle of Al-Jumu'? Their commander was Zayd ibn Haritha. Do you see those Muslim troops that marched at At-Tarf, Al-Is, and Hismi, and other battles? The commander of all these battles was Zayd ibn Haritha. Truly, as Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said, the Prophet never sent Zayd on an expedition, but as a commander. At last, the Battle of Mu'tah took place. It seems that the Romans and their empire were filled with apprehensions and forebodings about the rapid spread of Islam. They saw it as a genuine and fatal threat to their very existence, especially in Syria, which bordered the center of the new sweeping religion. Therefore, they used Syria as a springboard to the Arab Peninsula and the Muslim nation. The Prophet ﷺ realized that the aim of the Roman skirmishes was to test the Muslim combat readiness. Therefore, he decided to take the initiative and exhibit in action Islam's determination to resist and to gain ultimate victory. On the first of Jumaydi al-Hijra, the eighth year after Hijra, the Muslim army marched towards al-Baqi in Syria until they reached its borders, where Heracles' armies of the Romans and the Arabicized tribes residing at the borders were. The Roman army pitched camp at a place called Musharis, whereas the Muslim army pitched camp at a town called Mu'tah. Hence, the battle was named Mu'tah. The Prophet ﷺ knew how important and crucial this battle was. Therefore, he chose for its command three of those who were worshippers by night and fighters by day. Those three fighters sold their lives and property to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and renounced their deeds and desires for the sake of the great martyrdom, which would pave their way to win Allah's pleasure and to see Allah the generous. These three commanders were in succession Zayd ibn Haritha, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and Abdullah ibn Ruwaha. May Allah be pleased with them, and they with him, and may Allah be pleased with all the companions. Thus the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood to bid farewell to the army and give them his order, saying, Zayd ibn Haritha is your first commander, but in case he is wounded, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib will take over the command. And if he is also wounded, Abdullah ibn Ruwaha will take it over. Although Ja'far ibn Abi Talib was one of the Prophet's closest friends who had valor, fearlessness, and good lineage, yet the Prophet chose him as the second commander after Zayd. Thus the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stressed the fact that the new religion of Islam came to abolish corrupt human relationships based on false and superficial discrimination. It established new, rational human relationships instead. It was as if the Prophet foresaw the proceedings of the imminent battle, for he assigned the command of the army to Zayd, Ja'far, and then Abdullah. And strangely enough, all of them were raised to Allah in the same order set by him. When the Muslims saw the vanguard of the Roman army, which they had estimated at 200,000 warriors, they were stunned by its enormity that surpassed all expectation. But since when did the battles of faith depend on numbers? At that moment, the Muslims flung themselves into the battlefield regardless of the consequences or jeopardy. Their commander Zayd carried the Prophet's standard and fought his way through the enemy's spears, arrows, and swords. He was not so much searching for victory as for concluding his deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has purchased the lives and properties of Muslims in exchange for paradise. Zayd saw neither the sand of Balqa nor the Roman forces. The only things that he saw were the hills of paradise and its green cushions. These images flickered through his mind like the fluttering flags that had announced his wedding day. When he thrust and struck, he not only smote at the necks of his enemies, but also flung the doors open that stood in his way to the vast door through which he would reach the home of peace, the eternal paradise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's company. Zayd clung to his destiny. His spirit on its way up to heaven was overjoyed as it looked as it took its last glance at the body of its master that was not covered with soft silk, but rather with pure blood shed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His serene smile widened when he saw the second commander Jaffer dart towards the standard and hold it high before it ever touched the ground. So this is the story of Zayd ibn Haritha. Subhanallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Ameen. If there are any questions or comments, you can make them now, inshallah.
Hello.